Welcome to another Chinchilla Squeaks. If you're joining for the first time, I have changed the name of the show recently. I just realized you also need to change the name of the... It's a problem when you change the name of something. You suddenly notice all the places you need to change the name. Been a busy week of interviews, mostly because of KubeCon, which was last week, but it takes a while for me to catch up. And today is no exception. I think you might be my... Oh, no, I have a couple more in the next few weeks. But my guest today is John Amaral of Slim AI. So,
hello.
How are you doing, John?
Good, Chris. Thanks for having me.
So, Slim AI, the tagline is developer tools to help create production-ready containers quickly. What does that mean? Let's begin with firstly, you know, what is a developer trying to do that they cannot do right now effectively that Slim AI helps?
Sure. Well, in the age of cloud native software creation, development, deployment, et cetera, right? We first assume that, you know, Kubernetes is the sort of cloud native operating system and containers are the unit of software these days, meaning that in that scenario, developers are writing code like they always have, which power the application. And then at some point they render that code into the form of a container, and then sets of containers become services, and then services become applications, and so on. And in that process of going from the code that I wrote, I'm a developer, I'm expert at that, and always have been, to putting those bits inside of a Docker container and then shipping it off into the production environment, well, that goes along quite a journey. Create, build, deploy, run in basic terms. And somewhere along the line, you're interacting with the folks, the DevOps folks, the SREs, et cetera, whose job it is to know everything about that infrastructure, maybe less about the app that the developer builds. And conversely, the developer knows everything about the app and they know less about the infrastructure, and that infrastructure is, you know, increasingly complex. Making containers that are trivial is pretty easy. You make a Docker file, you put some code in the container, and it just runs typically in your environment. But there's chapter and verse in our industry about container best practices, and they typically talk about activities around building containers that are smaller, more secure, where you have control of what code's inside, that dependencies aren't going to creep in, changes in dependencies aren't going to creep in and disrupt the integrity of that container. Everything from worrying about software supply chain and what's in your container to, well, let's not run things in production that shouldn't be there because they'll run faster, they'll deploy faster, et cetera. So the idea of production-ready containers is really how well can an organization's developers produce an output that is ready to run under those criteria? It's small, I understand the software, et cetera. And that's really the bit about production-ready containers.
Okay. And so under the hood of all of this seems to be, I've just found on GitHub, is Docker Slim, seems to be the yes. Foundation. So what is going on? I mean, this is open source, so I guess we can talk about it. What's going on there? What is Absolutely. Docker Slim?
Great question. And it's really the genesis of, at the heart of the genesis of our company. So myself and my co-founder, Kyle Quest, set about the journey to build this company like about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And but prior to that, we've worked together as co-executives and leaders and architects and technologists at several companies building very large SaaS properties. And it's quite successful ventures together, and Kyle is an insatiable optimizer, meaning that he loves to make his developers work better. And we are we call ourselves a developer first company. It's all about making the devs successful and really passionate about that. And several years ago, he was encountering a conundrum in the development of his own work and his developers' work, which was developers were spending more and more time in his organization producing, working in these sort of DevOps, I'd say, work streams. You know, the bits about making their stuff run and the infrastructure, right? And that, you know, we have DevOps engineers, of course, that's all good, but he was finding more and more difficulty doing the production-ready container things that I was talking about earlier. Developers just didn't have the capabilities. They didn't have the know-how. They didn't want to do it, et cetera. Yeah, yeah. So he set about building a tool called Docker Slim. And one of the problems was basically make containers smaller and more secure. for all the reasons I mentioned earlier. So he had an idea about how he might be able to do that. And our history is we worked in a lot of very large security software companies and building these big SaaS projects. And he imagined using some of the techniques that he'd learned as a serious software security technologist. He employed this idea that in security, we want to know all the bad parts of software that's running somewhere. Yeah. Find the bad stuff, right? He said, well, wait a minute. If I look at this from the application composition perspective, what if I could turn that technology around, like the ideas, and find all the parts of a container that should be there, but none of the other stuff?
Yeah.
So you use that lens, created a hackathon project. I think it was for one of the DockerCons, if I remember correctly. And he was able to produce Docker Slim's, basically the genesis of Docker Slim, its first code. And basically it's pretty simple. You have a container as an input. It's an arbitrary container. Say it's a container that's 1 gig in size. We call it the fat container, right? And Docker Slim takes that container and analyzes it both statically and dynamically, which means it sort of analyzes everything that's inside it, and then it runs it and watches it run. And when it's turned on, it allows a developer to stimulate it with arbitrary tests. It has a mechanism for doing that. And it runs it in the Docker daemon, et cetera. When it's done doing those observations, it can produce a number of very insightful artifacts, like a report about exactly what was running in that container, or a report about the bits that it thinks you need to run that container. And it can also output another container, which is the functional set that it found to be necessary for it to run, minus all the things it didn't like about it. It reorganizes the container. It produces a new output container, and it's very successful at producing minimized output containers that are functionally the same as the input container. And it does that by observing what code needs to run in there and files, et cetera. And so He has continued to evolve that project diligently forever. And again, at the sort of back, a year ago or so, we were talking about it. You know, we've, of course, have worked together a lot and are very friendly. And we said, this is interesting. And aside on that is it's got, more than 10,000 stars. It's got more than 200,000 downloads. We think there's, tens of thousands of people who have and are still using it. So it's become a very popular tool for developers who need to make their containers smaller, faster, and more secure. And the security commentary, it can produce automatically a SecComp and AppArmor profile, so you don't have to go through and make the whitelist yourself. People find that convenient. Say you have vulnerabilities in a container, like it's not typical for base images you find to have hundreds of vulnerabilities. Oftentimes we run it through this system, app plus container, check it, reduce it, produce an output, check the vulnerabilities. They're oftentimes 10 or 100 times less than the input, because a lot of the vulnerabilities are found in files you don't even need. This tool has become a really streamlining component in folks' workflows who have adopted it to get them to not have to do the grunt work, really, of hand minimizing. It's say you have a vulnerability in a file. You go and look in that file, and that file is some arbitrary name. You don't know what part of the OS it's from. You don't know if you actually need it. Developers struggle with this, I'd call it infrastructure centric parts of their job, which are how to make their containers smaller. So that's what it is, and it became the sort of genesis or nucleus tech that we started the business on. The business has a much bigger vision than this, but it is a piece of the puzzle for us, and it's a very successful piece of the puzzle.
It reminds me, in some respects, there used to be more in the past the Docker image kind of analyzers, where it would show you all the bits and all the dependencies that were part of it, but does something smarter with it.
There are lots of great singular tools out there that do that. And Docker Slim has some capabilities like that to kind of show you what's going on. We're trying to not only give you toolings for observation and analysis, but then also give you these automatic outcomes that save a lot of time.
Some of the results you list here, well, the repository list here, are quite amazing. It seems that Ubuntu is particularly guilty, which would make sense. There's probably a lot of other stuff included in there. 432 megabytes to 14. And then you get things like Alpine, which have been intentionally developed to be slim, 66 to 34, which, right. I mean, it's still not bad, but of course it started from much smaller.
there's an interesting thing we've learned recently as we watch developer behavior and what they want. And again, I categorize this as a developer first company, really focused on making life great for developers, less friction. You brought up Ubuntu and Alpine, right? And I think there's an interesting philosophical shift that can happen when you think about making some of these optimizations more automatic. Alpine, both of these are great operating systems and are really good at what they're for. I think the interesting thing that we've learned is that developers want low friction and fast, you know, highly agile development, and that means like using the tools they want. We don't intend to change anybody's workflow with this, with our strategy for our business. It's really about, you know, helping developers work the way they want to work, but give them outcomes they would have to do a lot more work to get. Mm-hmm. Ubuntu, for instance, is interesting. And it's a fabulously good operating system for developers, right? Yep. It's a great tool, a great operating system for building these kind of building apps fast, getting them to be highly performant and getting them to be highly, with high integrity. Developers who use the Docker Slim ideas would rather start with a fat operating system than a small operating system in the beginning, because that's what they want. When you start with something, a base image that's really small, you have, as you develop on it and you change the composition of the app, you oftentimes find there are things missing in the operating system that you need as a foundation for your app. So this idea of I curate the smallest possible base image by hand initially, I add the bits I want, usually turns into the developer has a break fix cycle to reconcile. They will have to like add the dependencies they need. And oftentimes the breaks are not simple. It's some operating system piece that you didn't understand you needed in the first place.
Exactly.
So a cool methodology is start with Ubuntu, an operating system I love, and then add your app and then use a tool like Docker Slim to turn that into something very small, start big and then winnow down.
Yeah.
Tends to make developers go faster.
Yeah,
and that's
sense.
The cool thing.
Yeah, I have a tendency to do the same thing when I'm kind of messing around with things. You just kind of chuck dependencies left, right, and center, and you're like, "Oh, worry about it later," and then you start to optimize.
That's right. And precisely the pattern that Kyle was trying to address with designing this tool, which is let developers do what they love, what they want, the way they love. And then take all the friction out of having them get to an output that the DevOps and infrastructure folks will love as well. So it's kind of like a best of both worlds approach.
So let's focus on Slim.ai then. What does or what will, I get the impression, might be the bigger, the more of the question, Slim.ai add to Docker Slim? Because at the moment I go to the website, it says get the app. It takes me to the GitHub repository. So what's coming next? What are you going to do next?
Great question. So we are we're building upon a vision for creating even more capabilities, workflow tooling that will help developers along this journey to building and producing and deploying these awesome containers, right? And sets of containers as apps. And as we've and we are an open source roots company. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't call us per se an open source company. We are a software company that has open source software as an important part of its portfolio. Mm-hmm. We're in the process right now of building a broader platform, a SaaS platform. It's actually in private beta, so it's invitation-only beta. And its job is to sort of make it simpler for developers to interact with containers wherever they are. And so there are a lot of use cases that live around around this theme, which is, as a developer, I need to understand and find containers that are best suited for me to start my app. And the starting points for those containers, where they live, before I sort of decide they're the ones I want, could be in public repositories, like on Docker Hub, which has the world's containers on it, especially lots of the public starting points. And they could be inside of our company's repos that are maybe on Amazon ECR, et cetera. I've got to kind of know where everything is today. The repos are disparate. Oftentimes developers lack tools to go and seek those containers and to easily understand what's inside them, to be able to record that, organize containers. What I'm describing is really, you know, if I use common kind of references, think of an idea of a system that can touch everywhere containers are produced and can live. It's sort of like a SaaS platform that can reach and touch Google, Amazon, et cetera. And it can also give you inline processing that allows you to interact and optimize containers as you seek them. So one part of our platform is this almost Google search like capability for containers. I can go to the command line and say view.js, mm-hmm. and it will search everywhere you'd like to look for a container. It automatically analyzes the container for you when you search it, produces a very complete view of that container, what's inside it, observations about it, what are the software operating systems. And then from that, you can organize that container into sets with other containers. And now you can use that as a sort of a management plane for controlling, optimizing, et cetera, those containers. Really, what we've noticed is there's a lot of manual bookkeeping, manual effort, complex infrastructure to get to what I just described. We want to simplify that for you. And of course, one of the capabilities will be this optimization opportunity that we already have with Docker Swarm.
So I found a couple of blog posts that sort of illustrate what you're aiming for here. So one of the things actually that intrigued me was you're talking about container best practices. So is this going to be almost like container linting?
That's part of it, actually. Okay. Actually, the Docker Swarm tool has an emergent, I'll call it, a very early form of linting in it. Actually, it has several core functional sets. One is this optimization thing I described mm-hmm. earlier. It also has a command we call X-Ray, which is a very good container internals analysis tool. And by the way, these core capabilities are some of the basis for the underlying processing in our I'll call it SaaS platform, and then it has a rudimentary linter that we expected to build out more of, and that'll allow you to like really assess the composition of a container and give you recommendations in the long run. It's not quite up to that today, but it's an emergent feature. It has some profiling capabilities as well. So yes, the answer is, we want to be a tool that has a lot of insights that it generates on your behalf. So rather than just giving you analysis and you making the decision, we want to have those best practices objectives in mind, have an opinionated system that says, hey, by the way, I see what you have there. You could do better. And here's how. And if you want, here's a tool that helps you.
Yeah.
And be sort of the sort of benevolent uncle for every container all the time. So, for instance, we want to be that friend that says, "Hey, by the way, I saw that you didn't reference that container quite right, and you're likely to get a dependency problem. If that persists, you might want to change the reference in the Docker file to this, or we might change it for you, and so on." So we've always got your back on making containers better, even when externalities affect the future benefit of that software, which means the developer has to think a lot less about, you know, like what ifs and risks and long term.
And then one of the other parts I see, which I think is something that you covered already, was the ability to sort of search across multiple repositories or sources of containers to find ones that, I suppose, Slim AI recommends, I guess, is kind of the principle there.
Possibly, yeah. We do intend in our current form of our private beta, we have these what we call collections. We're going to find a better name for them, but it's basically starting point sets where we say, hey, if you're thinking about building a web app, this might be a good place for you to start, because we know other people have had success doing that, and we've analyzed those containers and they seem good. But we also give you free, you know, the freedom to explore. It's actually more a discovery than search, because we do give you tools to make decisions for yourself pretty rapidly.
Yeah.
So we want users to be able to seek from whatever source they like. That's certainly something we're striving for. And the second is to give them as much shortcuts or tooling as possible to help them go fast in making those decisions. It's pretty normal for DevOps in a moderately advanced organization. It's often true that there are sets of developers or DevOps folks whose job it is to kind of figure out what the right starting points are for any new app we build on containers. We want to make that super simple for people because we know that that's a lot of difficult work that could be easier.
It's interesting because in the interface that you present in some parts here, like the overview of different images, reminds me a little of, I don't know if you remember Kitematic, which used to be the kind of unofficial, I think it was Kitematic, the unofficial like Docker GUI for developers that kind of got acquired by Google and then rolled into the kind of now dashboard they have for Docker Desktop. But it lost a few things on the way that Kitematic used to have.
I actually have to go seek it now. I want to go find it.
I think it's long gone. It's basically been folded into Docker Desktop. But a few features got lost on the way, which are kind of what some of what you have a little here, bizarrely.
Cool. Well, I guess imitation is the greatest form of flattery. We haven't seen that. But, there are lots of analogs, I've got gray hair and we've looked at a lot of tools over the years. You can't help but emulate the best you've seen.
For sure.
I think a tool from our CTO, Kyle, who's, a far greater guru at all this than I am. He references an old tool he used many years ago from Norton, which was, I think, Norton Command. Oh, I forget the name of it, but it was a tool basically that you could look at everything on your operating system. And it had, he references as a pretty cool example of a easy, for a developer, an easy to use interface. And so I think, we do a lot of user testing and our really just goal is to find something that, users can navigate through quickly, developers can navigate through quickly and it feels familiar. So there's only so many ways to make an explorer, but I love to see what you're talking about.
I don't think it exists anymore. So I don't know. You've got me intrigued now. Let me see if it's still... actually, the website still exists, but it now part of the Docker toolbox.
Got it.
You possibly still find it.
maybe we'll find it. I'll go back in the time machine and see if I can find it.
Yeah. Cool. And then I suppose the most important part of this that relates to what Stimio is bringing is the Explorer part where you could see how the container is built, which alludes to what I said earlier about some of these analysis tools that you used to get and the different layers and things like that. But and then this X-ray part. So this X-ray thing is kind of intriguing. It's kind of hard to see as well because there can be potentially so much. The fact that I'm having to look closely at my screen shows you how much detail there is. So what is that actually showing? It's visualizing the entire container build in a trick. Actually, you know what I can do? I always forget I can actually do this, especially for the video. What I'm actually... I have it open in a different browser. Forget about that. But there's a blog post link that people can find, and there's this X-ray. So yeah, explain what that is because you've mentioned it a couple of times, and I'm trying to understand more how it helps developers.
Right. If you're a developer seeking to understand or debug a container, and these are two pretty common patterns that developers have to follow. One is, in container best practices, right? If you distilled the 10 or so documents that exist out there from all the major cloud providers, et cetera, you would find that early on in those documents, it would say, understand your public container. Right. So that's really a discovery problem. Right. And what you need to do when they mean understand it, they don't mean necessarily understand how it functions. They mean understand like how it's made, how it's built, because the composition of a container has lots to do with how well it caches, for instance, or how fast it is when you make any code change to rebuild that container, how the layers are organized. Are there any licensing bits in there that you might not want, right?
People forget about, actually, the licensing.
Right. Does it have the tools you need? Like, does it have Bash? Does it have a package manager? Does it have the right versions of software in there?
Yeah.
It's you know, containers make it really easy because of their portability and their atomicity to just get running, right? But basically, you know, software lifecycle require, you know, best practices require that you really understand your software, which is fun. So this tool, our goal is to make that job really easy and fast. We want quick insight and rapid decision-making opportunities. So in our, and some of the references that are out there aren't even our latest version of this, these analysis tool suite, but X-Ray at its basic provides this raw and analytic framework for understanding in detail what these containers are. And then in our platform that we're in beta with, we take that insight and we distill it into and we take that knowledge, the details of the container and how it's built, and we turn it into insights that a developer can rapidly understand. For instance, one is a simple, just what operating system am I talking about here? Mm-hmm. And it's not always easy to do that by just looking at a Docker file. Also, what are the dependencies in here? What are the environment variables in here? What are the layers? What's in those layers? Can I search them? For instance, in our latest version of the Explorer, you can see this new view that gives you almost like free text search capability inside the container. So you can say license at the command line and get a listing of all the licenses. And so what we hear from users, we do a lot of user testing, is it's the fastest way they've seen to grok a container, to really get to know it quickly. And that helps in, if you're evaluating a dozen different containers, this can really cut the workload to do that. Yeah. And what we see others using, and which I've used myself and our developers do and others, is what happens if something changes with a dependency in a container, et cetera, and that container is broken. How easily can you compare it to its predecessor container and make a distinction about what changed? This change insight is an important part of the feature set that we're developing, which is, you know, I've got a broken container. The old version worked. This one doesn't. I don't know what changed. Help me. That's another goal of this X-Ray capability.
And so you're also adding a command line interface, which makes perfect sense, and that's good to see. The other thing that intrigues
developers
me...
Developers love the command line. It's important.
But you're also adding an API. What kind of uses are you expecting people to use the API to the various features you offer for?
Sure. Part of this, I mentioned earlier that we want to be a platform that can extend and be engaged with any system you have that handles or produces or records containers. So part of the Slim.ai developer platform is this capability to interact with, say, for instance, CI/CD systems. Mm-hmm. CI/CD systems produce containers. That's an output. Yep. We want to interact with that. Okay, so with, okay, you could either do that through basically what you do is use our APIs to interact with these containers with your CI/CD system, and it can record containers in our system or send them to us or take them or return containers through that means. So effectively, it's an interface that allows developers to integrate our functions, our capabilities with anything they want. Yeah. We're actually in process of building an API agent, which is a piece of software that we'll give the code away to or you know certainly share freely, and that will allow developers to then use that abstraction to interact. But the APIs are really there for integration purposes.
Yep. One thing I noticed in the UI that potentially, I suppose, comes out the API as well and starts to make this make a lot more sense is you can actually, as far as I could see, you can output an optimized Docker file from the process. So you kind of feed all your inputs in, use the CI/CD pipeline to actually then get like the final Docker image that goes.
Yeah, the final Docker image. Elsewhere, that's exactly the workflow we see users doing. They have their CI/CD producing containers the way they always have. But they end up with a container that they want to then act on, understand, optimize, view, check differences, et cetera. They'll pipe that to us. And one way you can do that is to pipe it to our cloud through our APIs. And then we optimize it. We record what we learned. Now you can use all of our tools, these software tools that we have. And then we return the container back to the CI/CD system. There are ways you could do it in line too with some of our downloadable software. But then you go about your business of now vulnerability scanning that container, testing that container, And smaller containers are faster to scan.
Yep.
So you speed up your CI/CD time and all that. And that helps developers go faster as well. I should have mentioned earlier that, you know, we're still in a phase of our life cycle where, you know, we are interacting with developers, you know, closely to evolve our features. We don't have anything for sale yet. We're still in free software mode and evaluation mode. I call it, you know, beta phase.
Yeah.
We will have in our future always have free open source software that we'll continue to maintain. We expect to have a free SaaS software that folks can use with the free open source together and get continuous value from. And our goal in the future is to have, you know, obviously commercial software, but that is, you know, that, you know, developers can will benefit as they grow their value from us. So we really want to make sure we're building software that developers can just use and benefit from.
And so when do you think the SaaS offering will be an initial release? What sort of timeline?
We're expecting to get to what I'd call a sort of a public open beta, you know, this summer. So, you know, that's probably, it's something like that. We're pretty pragmatic. You know, we, it's sort of like, you know, when it's good enough, when you see it. Right. And we're continuing to work that way. We're very, you know, we want to build something developers love, and we're really ardently committed to that. So it's the more developers that interact with us, and the more you know, love we can give them, and just learn from them, the more I think we'll build stuff that works. And so far, so good with Docker Slim. It's really popular; people love it, and we get a lot of great feedback. And that community has been wonderful to us to help us learn.
Excellent, John Amaral of Slim AI, and unsurprisingly, you can find more at slim.ai. Thanks very much for joining me.
Really appreciate your time. Thanks for the opportunity to join.